in a time where dissenting voices are silenced, suppressed, and deleted, this is your place to hear the raw, real truth about what's going on in this crazy world and how you can hold your power and thrive in life through it all. Here, we cut through the BS big tech censorship to bring you what you really need to hear to help you remember the infinite potential and power that you hold. From spiritual connection to natural health remedies, history and corruption, to mindset, manifestation, and so much more. This is the place to hear the truth and to be inspired. Welcome to the Uncensored Truth Podcast with me, Dr. Seth Gerlach. In this episode, we speak with Ron Partain. He's the host of the Untold History Channel. And we get red-pilled today on many things, including the true origins of the Civil War, how the Federal Reserve has enslaved us for over a century, how the education and medical systems have been hijacked, and even topical EDTA and how it helps address heavy metal toxicities in the body. I hope you enjoy. Hey, everyone. How are you doing today? We are joined, blessed to have Ron Partain with us. Ron, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, man. Good to see you again, Seth.
Yeah, so Ron and I met a few months ago working on a similar project. If you don't know Ron, Ron's been working with calcium disodium EDTA chelation products since 1999. Ron worked as a compounding pharmacy tech before then, and he helps start several EDTA chelation therapy products. His father was one of the original developers of the EDTA suppository, or he was. He was the OG.
He was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. OG. Ron also has extensive background in manufacturing, logistics, customer support. And he heads operations and is responsible for logistics, product development, and quality control. You also have the Untold History Channel on Rumble, right?
Rumble.
Very much enjoying so many of the videos. So I will link that below because it is such an important channel, I think, for people to realize. Can we just start there with history and then get up to where we're at now? Because I think it's very important because a lot of people, one, don't know about history, or two, they've been fed lies about history. So In your stance, what made you start your whole channel there?
Okay. Because that's a complicated question. Let me just say this, that I grew up, my father was the second compounding pharmacist in California when compounding pharmacy was really starting to come out back in the early 1980s. And my dad was a drug company apologist who migrated into being he got a certified clinical nutritionist. He learned all about hormones, detoxification, all that stuff. And that's how that whole thing came about. But growing up, I was conservative. My father was involved in politics. He was on the school board, the hospital board, local stuff. My uncle was the mayor. So I've been around politics pretty much my whole life. Was raised to be a patriot. Love my country, served in the Navy. Even at one time, I still look back in this, and now I look back at it with horror that I actually had a picture of George H.W. Bush in his flight suit from World War II hanging on my wall before I went into the Navy, right? Thinking I was so patriotic. But my world was tossed on its head in, it was post 9/11. I had a friend of mine show me a documentary called 911 in Plain Sight, PLANE. And I was like, whoa, that completely altered my perspective. Now, I had been pseudo red pilled up until that point because I believed that there was something fishy going on with JFK assassination. And I'd heard the rumors about FDR knew about something about Pearl Harbor, but I never really delved into that too much. But when I realized that 9/11 wasn't what it was sold as, that was the kind of like the earthquake. That was the 10.0 that shook my world and really sent me down a path where I've always been a history guy, right? Watching the History Channel growing up, I just loved history. And I would absorb it. I don't know. I probably read somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 books a year, if not more, just about historical stuff. And I watch stuff. I listen to podcasts. My idea of a good time is listening to an audiobook when I'm driving, if I can stay awake, right? If I need a little bit of speed or need something to kind of pep me up, then I'll turn some music on. But I prefer to use that time to educate myself. And so I'm sitting here loaded with all this information. I don't know if you're familiar with Scott McKay. Scott McKay is AKA the Patriot Street Fighter. Okay, so when Scott came on board before he was really somebody, I reached out to him and said, hey, dude, let me help you. I can help you because I know a lot of this stuff. And so I reached out to him before he was really well known. And anyway, as a result of my connection with Scott McKay, I was brought into a circle of where all these people who I had listened to and watched on YouTube and all these, like these people are all like now my friends. And I never really had a desire to get to have my own channel or anything, but I had so many people tell me, dude, you need to be out there. You so much information and you need to be out there. You have a solid voice. You've got a great knowledge base and you would be an excellent resource and somebody to the movement really truly needs. And I'm like, okay, I guess. Well, when Scott went on tour, I hooked him up with my guy who was doing the teaching the Constitution. And in order to keep that Constitution class going once a week, I jumped on there and pinch hit for Scott to make sure that the Constitution class was going on his channel. That was my kind of getting my dipping my toes. Then I kind of like, okay, I can do this. So that's when I really started to do things on my own. But it's really kicked into high gear over the course of the last 12 months. I've really hit the accelerator and really start to delve in. The thing that makes me unique is I don't avoid third rail topics, right? If something is controversial, I typically will jump in and tackle it. And I try to do it in a respectful way because I know that we don't all have the same opinion about things. And there's many people, what I believe many people associate information with emotion. That's what that has been taught to us over the course of the last 100 years. And it's been deliberate because if we hold information close to the vest with associated with emotion, we'll plant that flag on a hill and we will die on that hill defending it, wrong or indifferent. That's our opinion and our belief, and we're going to die defending it. And I don't do that. I mean, there's a few flags where I'll plant in a hill and die defending it, but very few. Like Jesus is the Son of God and died for my sins. That's a flag that I'll defend. The Constitution is a flag I'll defend. A lot of things that aren't necessarily that where we don't have all the information, I'm not going to defend those, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to avoid talking about them. And I may have opinions and bring information out, but I do, for example, I went down on my channel a few weeks during the summer. I went down and I was giving the German side of World War II, not the American German side, but the German side of World War II. And it's considerably different than what we've been told and what the history books tell us. Now, I'm not giving that because it's what I believe. I'm giving it because it's like you're getting a different perspective of something that happened in history. And I think most people in the United States specifically and in the West, we don't like to hear things that contradict what we believe. Because when we do that, we dig our heels in and we fight. And I believe that it's incumbent upon us, if we're going to have a true understanding of history, to hear multiple sides of the story, because not everything that we hear is always accurate. And I think one thing that everybody can agree upon in 2023 is, you know, the difference between conspiracy theory and truth now is like about what, 3 weeks?
It's getting smaller.
Before, to be labeled a conspiracy theory was almost a taboo, and now only being labeled a conspiracy theorist is almost that's like a badge of honor. That's the long answer of why I do what I do, because I believe that I can tactfully bring a different opinion or a different side of a perspective into the discussion in a way that I'm not being disrespectful to everybody's belief system.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I'm a history buff too. So it's fascinating and eye-opening to look at things from a different lens, because we've always had just one side of the story. It's usually the guys who win, write the history books, or the guys who are pulling the strings, essentially.
That's right.
And the USA is always the good guys. And
right.
It makes you challenge everything, all of your belief systems and patterns. So it's humbling too, but I love it. And we were just talking before we came on about the emotionality. And really, if you look at like the stuff in the Middle East, especially Israel, I've seen more war footage in Israel than I've seen of all Ukraine in multiple years. And personally, I think it's they're trying to get this emotionality tied into this to fulfill something bigger. What have you seen? Because you read and watched and all this stuff of wars in the past century or so. How have the people in charge played wars, and what have they used wars for? And you can get into maybe some of the operations or what comes out after those.
Okay, so there was the people that kind of got together, call it the elite. The elite got together and they were trying to, they asked this question amongst themselves. What is the one best way that we can move society in the direction that we want them to go? And there is no greater instrument out there than war to move society into a direction that they want to move it to, right? So death, let's look at hell, okay? The church uses hell as a tool to keep people on the straight and narrow, right? Because people are more fearful of going to hell, so they won't do something that will keep them out of hell, as opposed to doing the good things that will reward them with eternal life. It's the negative repercussions that keep people in line more so than the positive reinforcement. The war is the biggest tool that is used to move the needle. And I think right now what's going on is the financial system is about ready to collapse. It has been ready to collapse. So frankly, I'm surprised that we haven't collapsed yet. I'm really shocked that we haven't collapsed yet. But when the financial system collapses, what it will do is it will conceal crimes by the elite and how they have mismanaged money. A lot of people don't understand that when the Federal Reserve was created back in 1913, the Federal Reserve ostensibly reversed the flow of money. Because when the government of the United States was founded, the Constitution was formed, it was created by the states. The states created the Constitution to give the federal government powers that the states didn't necessarily feel they wanted to deal with. So national defense. The states don't want to have to deal with national defense. So what they do is they pawn that responsibility over to the federal government. So the federal government is now responsible for defending the entirety of the states, as opposed to each state having to come up with its own militia. But a lot of people now, if they don't remember that the federal government was a creation of the states and that the states are superior. And I get a lot of pushback on this when I talk about how the Second Amendment, people think the Second Amendment is sacrosanct and it's absolutely, it cannot ever be touched because, hey, it can't be touched. It's the Second Amendment is the supreme law of the land. Yes and no. The Constitution does not govern the states. The Constitution only governs the federal government. If the Constitution governed the states, then the states wouldn't have a need for their own state constitution, right?
So states could technically have their own opinion or states, law regarding 2A.
States could make gun laws. So if you go into a state and a state says you have to be 18 years old to buy a rifle, that doesn't come from the federal government. That comes from the states. That is, in a sense, saying that's a gun law. That's restricting gun ownership, right? Until you're 18. Mm-hmm. But it's still a restriction. It's a restriction that cannot be placed by the federal government because the federal government cannot make a law that restricts gun ownership. Only the states can do that. Roe v. Wade, when they came back and they overturned Roe v. Wade and they sent it back to the states, that was right. Correct. I believe right. That was right. Mm-hmm. But if we're being intellectually honest about it, what they've done with the gun stuff is completely the opposite. They've actually taken that away from the states. And that's the whole idea of federal supremacy. And even though I am in favor of the laws and the decisions that are coming out of the judiciary, I'm in favor of some of the things that they're saying. People don't understand that the government that is big enough to give you everything is also big enough to take it all away. And I firmly believe that those things need to be done at, like, the gun legislation and stuff. That needs to be done at the state level. And if you don't like the way the state's handling it, then you have the freedom to move to another state that does it the way that you want it to be done. That was the whole point of different states have different forms of government. And I get a lot of pushback from that because people are like, no, no, that's not right. But again, why would there be, there's 49 of the 50 states have basically have a Second Amendment, not necessarily the Second Amendment, but a wording that is similar to the Second Amendment in their state constitution, with the exception being California.
That's weird.
Ironically. So, why would the states, feel the need to put that language in writing if the Second Amendment is the constitution overrode it? Why would they need to do that? That would be redundant and waste of time. People just don't think about that. And I don't know. I'm probably blabbering a little bit now. You asked what got me into this. And it's just, number one, it's my depth and breadth of knowledge. Number two, it was an encouraging note from a lot of people in the community who, once they got to talk to me and heard my ability to hold an intelligent conversation on a wide variety of things, that they're like, dude, you absolutely need to have your voice out there. You're depriving the world of your knowledge by not having a channel.
Yeah. I think it's a good take for everybody.
Yeah. When I've got people that I hold in extremely high esteem and they're telling me that I need to be out there, then I'm like, okay, maybe I need to listen to them.
Yeah. So you were saying about wars can help cover up crimes, and we can talk about maybe crimes against humanity, but you were talking financial in particular, Federal Reserve, you got into that a little bit. Do you want to give people just a brief synopsis of what the Federal Reserve has done to the financial system, not only here, but across the world the past, what is that, 110 years?
Sure. Okay. First thing you got to understand is that what the Federal Reserve was designed to do was to centralize power.
So, who set up the Federal Reserve? Can you get into that?
It was basically bankers, high power bankers. If you really want a good book to read, go read Creature from Jekyll Island by Geoward Griffin. There's a great documentary called Century of Enslavement that was done by James Corbett. Actually, very well done, James Corbett. And then there's another really good documentary out there. I just actually did every Friday night on my channel, I do Friday Night Watch Party if I'm in town. And I'll play generally a movie or a documentary or something, and we'll just watch it. And two Fridays ago, I did America, Freedom to Fascism, which was done by Aaron Russo. And for the older generation, if you ever saw, was it Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd? He was the one who directed that movie. And he did this movie. He actually was a good friends with Nick Rockefeller. And Nick Rockefeller was telling him, Aaron talks about this in an interview that he did with Alex Jones, that Aaron Rockefeller was telling him about how, oh yeah, there's going to be an event that's going to happen. And when it does, we're going to have military guys looking all over in caves for this guy. And it's going to be a war that can't be won. It's just going to be perpetual war and whatnot. People are going to be exposed for being shown to be the stupid people that they are. That's exactly what's happened. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what's happened. And that's how these elite people think.
Sure. Do you think the crimes
Did
against
I answer
humanity
your question?
Will get... Yeah, that's good. So essentially, they've used the Federal Reserve to enslave humanity and perpetually got rich.
Yes, and you know what?
Can you go into that?
Forgive me, because I wanted to touch on something and I failed to. What the Federal Reserve did is it reversed the flow of money. Mm-hmm. Prior to the Federal Reserve, the states funded the federal government. Okay. So after the Federal Reserve, now the Federal Reserve funds the states. people think that our tax dollars that we pay in income tax goes to fund government and stuff. No. The Federal Reserve funds the federal government, and how the Department of Education, the Department of Defense, all of the government mechanisms are paid for by money that comes from the Federal Reserve. And that's where, so the states, like when California has all their fires, or you have disasters like a hurricane or any type of a disaster, what do they say? What's the first thing they say? Oh, we need federal aid. Mm-hmm. We need federal aid. So that's what the federal government was, the Federal Reserve was created to give the federal government power by, if you and your wife lose your jobs and your child has made a fortune doing, call it childhood acting or whatever, and this, your child has a ton of money, you lose your jobs and you no longer have the ability to pay for your mortgage. So you say, we're going to raise your rent. So now your rent's going to be whatever the cost of the mortgage is, call it $5,000 a month, where Maury wasn't paying any money to begin with. And your kid's like, heck with that, I'm out of here. I'm going to go find someplace else to live where it's cost me maybe $500 a month to live. I'm not doing that. That's retarded. Then, so what you end up doing is you say, no, you're going to stay here and you're going to do this. And if you don't, then we're going to force you. So the kid moves out, and then you literally go out and kidnap the child, bring him back in, and burn everything that he owns so that he can't live anywhere else. And then you lock him up in his room, and then you just live off of him. That's what the Civil War was. The Southern states were paying enormous amounts of money to the federal government in the form of tariffs. It was like 40%. All of the imports that were coming into the country, they were charging 40% tariffs, and all of that money was going basically to fund the corporate welfare of the day back in the 1850s and 60s. And the Southern states were like, man, we've had enough of this. This is retarded. It didn't have anything to do with slavery. Now, it would be naive to say that slavery didn't play a role in that at all, but the vast majority of it had to do in terms of the Civil War. What was going on there is that you had the Southern states that were really wanted to fight for self-determination. They wanted to have their own say in how they were going to live. And the federal government was telling them, no, you can't do that. Or they were putting restrictions on them. And they're like, why? We don't want to do that. We want to do our own thing. The whole notion of slavery being a tool of what they fought over, not really. Because back then, when they say that, oh, the North, there wasn't slavery in the North, really what that was, that's like code. If a state didn't have slavery, it wasn't because they were opposed to slavery. It's that they didn't want black people living in their neighborhoods. In other words, it's not too dissimilar from like elite people who live in a very high pricey neighborhood and that's majority white. And then you have a physician who's a brain surgeon who moves in next door, but nobody wants him to live there because he's black, right? It doesn't matter that he's a brain surgeon and he makes probably more money than they do. They don't want him living in their community because, oh, the prices of now our property values are going to go down because we've got a black guy living in our neighborhood. So it was that type of mentality. So when a slate was a non-slave state, it wasn't because they were altruistic and abolitionists. It had everything. It had much more to do with the fact that they just didn't want black people living in their neighborhoods.
Let me tell you about my favorite at-home biohack. If you follow me on the IG, you probably see me jumping in my infrared sauna all the time. This thing is lit. I love it for the amazing health benefits like improved detoxification, increased lymphatic flow, mitochondrial recharge, and cellular health, improved blood pressure and immune function. But also, did you know, studies show that people who sauna multiple times a week have a drastically decreased risk of things like Alzheimer's, dementia, cardiovascular disease, and all-cause mortality. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty incredible. I love the TheraSage Thera 360 Plus because of its super low EMF. It heats up super quickly, the earthing and gemstone technology built in, It's full spectrum infrared and red light, and it's portable. This thing is plug and go, super easy. If you're ready to recharge and supercharge your health, check out the link in the show notes and enter Dr. Seth 10 for 10% off your order. You won't regret it.
They just didn't want Black people living in their neighborhoods.
Yeah. And this is, yeah, just a snippet of what you'll get on the Untold History Channel. It's wild. We're just scratching the surface here of just a few knowledge bombs.
Sorry to go on.
No, it's great.
You pull that hand and you're going to get a grenade, man.
Oh, I love it. Post-World War II, a lot of stuff was happening also that kind of shaped America today and set the world stage, right? What are the biggest things that happened post-World War II, in your opinion, that kind of led us to where we're at now, maybe financially or mentality-wise or anything?
First of all, I think the education system, what was done with the education system. History is not taught with the idea of teaching an event that occurred in history and then understanding the event for what that event actually meant, right? We are taught history with the idea of having a mindset. And prior to World War I and World War II, the general tenor of the belief system in the United States was we were isolationists. We didn't want to get involved in foreign entanglements. That's not what we wanted to do. You listen to George Washington in his farewell speech. He's like, we don't want to be involved in foreign entanglements at all. And that mentality went all through for over 100 years. You had the Federal Reserve Act, you had the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment. And what the 16th Amendment did is it ushered in the federal income tax. And then the 17th Amendment neutered the state's ability to have a say at the government level. Because when the federal government was created, when the Constitution was written, you've got a bicameral legislature, meaning that you've got a lower house, which is the House of Representatives, which is based on representation of population, which is why places that, states, the big states, California, Texas, Florida, New York, Pennsylvania, these are the states that have the largest amount of electoral votes during the presidency because they have the largest populations. But every state, regardless of size, has the same amount of senators. And the reason for that is that the senators were not elected by the people. The senators were elected. One senator was elected by the state's legislature, and the other senator was elected by the state's Senate. And the reason for that was so that the states would have actually a say in what happened at the federal government, because the states were represented as well. They are part of the constituency of the federal government. So the 17th Amendment altered the way senators were elected, and it made it a popular vote of the people because that was a much easier way to manipulate how senators were elected. And by doing that, you removed the state's ability to have a say in the federal government. That was one of them. That was a big deal. You also had that happen really with Reynolds v. Sims, which was a 1964 Supreme Court case, and basically did the same thing, because prior to Reynolds v. Sims, you had the states had, there's counties in the state, right? So however, for every county had one senator representing the county at the state Senate level. And then the assembly or the legislature in the state was predicated based on population, not too dissimilar from the House of Representatives. In California, think about this. In California, if every county had a senator representing the county at the state level, California's makeup in the terms of the government would be completely different. You would have 58 senators and they would be predominantly conservative, because California is a conservative state, whether people want to believe it or not. But it's controlled by the population centers, just like St. Louis and Kansas City control Missouri, just like Chicago controls Illinois, just like Atlanta controls Georgia, New York City controls New York, same thing. So, and that was what the founding fathers wanted to avoid. They did not want the population centers controlling or dictating terms, for the farmers, because it was a local our form of government was supposed to be done so that the local people got to deal with themselves locally and make the proper decisions for them at the local level. And the federal government, through the Federal Reserve, has done slowly over the course of the last 100 plus years, is removed the local say and given it more towards the population centers. This is a ball of yarn that has been tangling up for 100 years, and it's going to be very difficult to unwind it and untangle it, sadly. Yeah.
What's the most fascinating, maybe, topic that you've covered, read about, or the most influential interview you've had, maybe on your channel or just in general?
That's a tough one, because I touch on so many subjects. You know, I'm very passionate about health. I'm also passionate about different parts of history. I'm into financial stuff. I'm into war history. I'm into just general people history too. That's a tough one. But if I had to point to one single thing in history or whatnot that has had the most impact on me, it would probably be the revelation that 9/11 was bullshit.
Yeah, that was huge for me too. I find that's most people's red pill. Have you seen that too?
Because
it completely pulls the curtain back. In this day and age, there's videos and all kinds of things that we can see that, man, there's people behind the scenes pulling strings. Holy shit, what else are they doing?
We live in this world where we all think that we live in a time where it's sophisticated, where everything that we do is honorable. And that happened a long time ago. That doesn't happen anymore because we don't live in a world that's corrupted like that. We're too good for that. No, quite the opposite. It's in fact, they've done a very good job. The infamous they have done a very good job at keeping us with the mindset that can't happen while it is happening. And people just, they want to believe that, hey, we're the best and the United States could never be evil. And when you look at World War II, the United States literally fought on the side of perpetuating global communism.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to hear that. I love my country. I would die for my country. But that doesn't necessarily mean that my country hasn't been run by criminals with criminal intentions in the past and present. The founding document for the country is one of the greatest pieces of writing to ever be put on the globe. Our system of government is by far and away the greatest system ever created, devised by man in order to govern. And the problem is that we're just not abiding by it.
Yeah. It takes a populace that we have
the Constitution is not broken. We just don't live by the Constitution.
We don't keep them in check. Right.
Right.
Amen. How did Rockefeller and the AMA completely change the face of healthcare, health, education, all that?
That goes back to, I think it was the Flexner Report, the Flexner Brothers, where what they did was they had this idea that they were going to go in and monitor all of the medical schools and rate them. And what they did was they said, hey, if what we'll do is we'll rank these schools, and if they're not good, then we'll advocate for them not to get money and whatnot. You have to have money to be able to teach. So what they ended up doing was they totally disrupted like chiropractic, homeopathy, all this, all of the alternative modalities that are very effective and healthy, to basically narrowing everything down to a system where now only the doctor, who's an approved representative of a medical system that is pushing out things that may or may not be healthy, but somebody's paid for the ability for them to say it's healthy. And now the doctors, whether they're good or bad, and there's a crap ton of fantastic doctors out there, and there's a crap ton of just charlatans out there. Mm-hmm. But the doctor has been given the moniker of the most trusted individual out there for the most part. To most people, when they go to their doctor, being involved with chelation has really, it helped me understand we are operating under a system where the doctor's voice is the only one that is accepted. I would tell people, hey, this is, I'm checking something over the counter. Oh, I need to talk to my doctor first. Okay. And of course, they're going to go to them. They're going to talk to their doctor and they're going to tell their doctor what they want to do. And their doctor's going to say, no, you can't do that. And then they're just going to, oh, my doctor said I can't do that. But what their doctor said is gospel truth to them. And they refuse to listen to anything that you say, because if you're giving information that's counter to what the doctor says, then it's a no-go. They just, people will blindly trust their doctor over anything and anybody. They just won't, not even their best friend. They're not going to listen to anybody, but if their doctor says it, it may as well be gospel truth. And that is probably one of the single most, call it, detriments to our society, because the doctors don't learn about health anymore. They don't learn about the human body. They don't learn about nutrition. They don't learn about things. Doctors are, and I don't include you in this because your mindset is different. Medical doctors are more about managing disease conditions as opposed to finding cures and helping people live a healthier, longer life.
Well, essentially they've turned, and I say they, Rockefeller, back in the day, essentially turned physicians into glorified product pushers. And the product was, you know, Rockefeller gained vast, even more financial wealth from these petroleum-based pharmaceuticals. And essentially, yes, they took and they outsourced people's thought about health to someone in a white lab coat and say, yes, we know best. You don't know anything about your health. You're inherently broken. You're inherently sick. Mm-hmm. You cannot do this. You need these medications, and we are the ones to help give it to you. And now, here we are in this predicament. We spend more on healthcare than any other country in the world. We have some of the worst outcomes from developed nations. And essentially, we from that, we saw this huge rollout of these jabs a couple of years ago. Do you want to get into that whole thing?
Oh, if you want, man. Yeah. So I interviewed Melissa McAtee. She was one of the Pfizer whistleblowers. And she said that there's no way in hell. Do you know what GMP, good manufacturing practices, are? Mm-hmm. You know how that works?
Yes.
Like, so for your audience, and I'm not going to take for granted that everybody knows, but I'll just say you're going to make some chocolate chip cookies, right? So what you do is you take the flour and you write down how much flour you used, the lot number of the batch of flour that you did, the expiration date, all this stuff. Then you go down and then you put the butter, and then you put the sugar, and then you put the chocolate chips and all these ingredients that you do. You put down how much you used, the date that you did it, the order, everything. Like, all of this information goes into the lot number. And then there, that way, if anything happens to you and you get sick, or multiple people get sick and they can trace it back to a specific lot number, then they know where to go look. And they can say, anybody who's taken this is potentially susceptible to being sick. So, be on the lookout. What she told me during the course of our interview is that they completely threw the GMP practices out the window when they were making the vaccine. It was basically, what they did was they were just assembling powders that had already been put together, which is a total violation of GMP. And moreover, there's no way in hell that they could have manufactured as much vaccine as they did in the short amount of time from the time that they quote unquote found it to when they started producing it. There's no way that they could have pumped out that much vaccine that fast. Therefore, what that leads me to believe is that they already had it done. The vaccine was already prepared. When all this stuff went down, it was already ready to go. They already knew it.
Yep. And then they introduced the problem to bring in the solution they already had. Do you think that's why there's such a discrepancy between people who have taken the jab and some got deathly sick and died and some people were quote unquote okay? Just all the lots were just completely different?
Possibly.
Is that what she was saying? Did she get into that?
I don't know. She wasn't really into, so no disrespect to Melissa at all, because her courage alone gives her, you know, puts her very high up in my book because she had the courage to stand up. But she's not a scientist. She was never a scientist. She doesn't understand the science behind it. She was just somebody on the manufacturing side who knew what she was doing and how that stuff went together. But she didn't understand the science and how and the mechanisms and how it worked. But I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know if that's the reason that it was, or if it was they were literally creating something that was going to be DNA targeted. Because I do believe that there is an element of truth to the notion that they have been working on something like this for quite some time and to target specific, you know, like DNA markers.
Well, the Russian government came out and said that Ukrainians and their biolabs were working on just that. And they said they have all the proof.
Yeah, I believe that. And I believe that. I think before all this kind of comes to a head, or before this whole situation goes away, I do believe that we're going to find out that what you just talked about, that's going to be common knowledge. But I also believe that we're going to see, are you familiar with the Deagle numbers?
You had spoken to me about that. Tell our listeners about that.
So Deagle is a website that what they do is if you're going to look for to buy a military hardware or whatnot, you go to the Deagle website and they tell you all of the information about a specific military hardware, but they also talk about geopolitics and the needs that you might have in your general vicinity. There's a lot of different things that go into this, but one of the things that they talk about is if you know you're going to expect turmoil in your neck of the woods over the course of the next 10 years or so, you want to be as ready as possible to be able to deal with any geopolitical events prior to them occurring, right? What Deagle did is Deagle had population forecasts back in 2014, 2015, and their population forecast for the United States at that time was that the United States would drop down below 100 million population. And what's our population now? Like 335, something like that. For us to get down below 100 million population, that's about a 65 to 70% decline in population of the United States. That's just in the United States. I want to say they had China at like losing 70%. I think the biggest loser was the UK. UK was going to lose 80% of their population. Their population was going to get down to like 14 million people or something like that. It's insane. But when Trump won in 2016, when he won the election in 2016, those numbers popped up significantly. So when Trump won, the numbers went from, I want to say they were like, I think it was like 60 million people, 60 million Americans were going to survive. And then those numbers jumped up to like over 100 million. So Trump being in the mix definitely had an impact on the negative side of what Deagle was doing.
And if I'm not mistaken, they predicted this out almost like month by month. And the targets were almost like eerily on target so far.
Correct.
Yeah. And that was, I remember looking at that. It was eye-opening.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
It's spooky to think about it.
Yeah.
But and artificial intelligence, there's a lot of stuff out there. People really don't have any clue about how bad things are. But there's also good things. There's a lot of good things that people aren't aware of. But I've got a lot of friends who were law enforcement, and they all tell me, I said, man, if you listened to the radio chatter on a police scanner, you wouldn't go to bed. You wouldn't be able to sleep because it's just the stuff that goes on in our area. It would freak you out. Yeah. You wouldn't know how to handle it.
let's talk about some good stuff. You want to talk to us about EDTA, because I know this is something you're an expert in.
Yeah, well, EDTA is definitely one of those things that I have really embraced. And I never thought in a million years that it would, what they would come together and merge. With the EDTA and the vaccine, one of the main nasty things in the vaccine is the hydrogel and or the nanotechnology. And EDTA is a broad-based chelating agent. The very best way to get that into the body is intravenously through a shot or through an IV drip. That's by far and away the very best way, because EDTA is it's very sensitive to the acidic environment of the stomach. So if you try to take it orally, the EDT is going to be neutralized by the acidic environment of the stomach. So therefore, the very best way to do it is to do it in such a way that it's going to get into the circulatory system without being neutralized by the acid. But there's a lot of places that can't do that, because in order for you to do anything that requires an injection, it requires you have to be licensed, a licensed medical professional to do that. And not everybody has that license. So the second best way to do that is, you know, suppository. Suppository, and I don't have any problem with doing that, because I just, you know, that doesn't bother me, but I know I'm in the minority. A lot of people is like, yeah, I'm not putting nothing up my butt. I'm just not going to do it, right?
Yeah. I'd rather die. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
So what we did was we said, well, hey, how about doing it into a cream? Because you're essentially doing the same thing. You're just, when you apply something topically, it's going to absorb into your body. And period, end of story. Yeah, say what you want. It's you know what? There's nothing you can do to prevent it. If you take a hot shower, you are literally, the steam is going to, if your water has high levels of heavy metal content, you're going to absorb some of that stuff. Breathing it or just by contacting your skin, it's going to absorb into the skin. That's just the nature of what it does. So we just take that and we put EDTA into a topical it's extremely rich in EDTA. So there's a lot of content of it. And what EDTA does, it's like a thief. It gets into the body and it will attract, because I'm not going to bore anybody with the chemistry about it, but what it does is the electrical charge of the EDTA is such that it will latch onto a metal ion at the molecular level, and it will draw it out and it will bind to it, and then it will encapsulate it. Once that encapsulates, then the body will actually get rid of that. It knows how to get rid of that, but it knows how to get rid of the EDTA, but it doesn't know how to get rid of the heavy metal, which I'm sure you can back me up on this and maybe even explain it a little bit better than I can, but at least from the scientific perspective. But what that does is it sneaks it out of the body. It's like going into a store and then it puts the candy bar in its pocket and it walks out and nobody's the wiser. So that's basically what EDTA does. Now, I like to use the analogy of a penny a day. If you walked outside and just looked down on the ground, you somewhere along the line, you would be able to find a penny every day, maybe more. But for the sake of conversation, we'll just say one penny a day. If you did that 365 days a year, by the end of the year, you'd have $3.65. Let's just say, for easy math, let's just bring it from 365 to 350. So in 10 years, you would have $35. In 20 years, you'd have $70. In 40 years, you're going to have $140, right? But the thing is that you can't spend all that money fast. There's just no way you can do that. To spend all that, it would really tax the body. It would tax the kidneys. It would just tax the body in general. But that doesn't mean that it's gone. All those heavy metals are stored deep down into your tissue, in the bones. It's like going down to a pond, a lake, or a river or a stream or something. You come up to an area where the water is really clear, and then you take a little pebble and you put the pebble in there, and then all of a sudden you get this murky water coming up, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically what happens when you take that pebble. That's the EDTA being introduced in there. That's what makes the water murky. And so that's one of the reasons why when people start doing the EDTA, they feel gross. they feel maybe have maybe like flu-like symptoms or whatnot. And everybody's a little bit different, but that's typically a good an analogy that people can understand. By stirring this stuff up in the body and bringing it out into the circulatory system, what you're doing is you're causing your body to feel kind of have this icky, sickening feeling, because now you've got all these toxins that are now flowing around in the body. The EDTA will grab onto this in this target-rich environment, and then it will take them all out and it'll expel them through the feces and the urine. That's a good thing, right? You want to do that, but you just can't. It's not just, you're not going to be able to be successful in doing it once. It's something that you have to do daily, just like you're bringing in microscopic amounts of heavy metals on a daily basis and have been doing so since the day of your birth. Mm-hmm. You also need to have the reverse, where you need to microscopically get rid of as much as you can over the course of however long you're doing this. So that's why I recommend people need to be doing this on a, I mean, you don't brush your teeth once. Mm-hmm. You brush your teeth every day.
Did you know we're exposed to exponentially more toxins than our ancestors? Things like plastics, heavy metals, VOCs, mold, chemical spills, these are all rampant. We're also seeing a rise in chronic health conditions like autoimmune diseases, anxiety, depression, GI issues, brain fog, just to name a few. See, toxins inflame your body and your brain. They alter your immune system. They can tear up your gut lining and throw your hormones completely out of whack. I see so many people with these issues like brain fog, fatigue, anxiety, mood swings, headaches, GI issues, and almost all the time they cannot eliminate toxins out of their body. So what's the best and safest way to get toxins out of the body? It's opening your drainage pathways. Drainage before detox, always. This means that your gut, your liver, your kidneys, your lymph can all move and mobilize toxins that could be keeping you sick. Want to learn exactly how to do this step by step? Check out my drainage formula in the show notes below and enter POD 18 for 18% off the course. Now back to the show.
Mm-hmm. You brush your teeth every day because you've constantly got buildup of bacteria in your mouth. Sometimes you brush your teeth through 3-4 times a day after each meal, before you go to bed, before you go on a date. You get what I'm saying there. The point is that heavy metals, they're some of the biggest causes of oxidative stress in the body. A lot of police officers die of heart attacks. And the reason that they die of heart attacks, one of the main reasons they die of heart attacks, is because they've been shooting all their lives. They go to the range 2-3 times a week to practice shooting, because at some point their life may be on the line. It's that constant drilling into your head of the hand-eye coordination and the muscle memory. But every time you pull the trigger, you've got a burst of toxic air that's blowing up in your face that is 35% lead siphonate. So that aerosolized lead gets onto your hands, it gets into your nasal passages, and that's the worst type of lead. And the higher the lead content causes serious ramifications for the cardiovascular system. And it's one of the leading causes of atherosclerosis.
There's so many toxins today, especially. I think we're the most toxic generation by far. And actually, our life expectancy is actually going backwards for the first time in recorded history. And I think toxins have a big role to play in this. Big mm-hmm. picture, when we talk about the big things that affect people's health, there's toxins and emotions and stress are some of the biggest things leading to infections, oxidative damage, all these other things too. A lot of the people that I test, like anytime people have mercury fillings, I test, and pretty much every single time their mercury in their body, in their tissues, mm-hmm. is very high. Not surprisingly, there are people who have smoked or have been around smoke. Cadmium is a big one. Aluminum is in so many vaccines. So you're seeing kids with the vaccine schedule increasing. You're seeing aluminum uptick quite a bit too, and potentially in our skies. And the list mm-hmm. just goes on and on. Everywhere you look, we're just being assaulted almost. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we talk about helping people drain some of the stuff out and making sure they're pooping and making sure they're hydrated. What would you recommend people to mitigate the icky feelings or going through some of that while they're doing something like EDTA?
Do you know what? There's really nothing you can do about that, unfortunately. It's just something you're just gonna have to just deal with. The good news is that it's transient. It's not something that's going to last for a long time. And when you first start doing something, the more of the dose that you use, the more pronounced that feeling of nausea, malaise, whatever is going to be. The lower the dosage, the less negative feelings you're going to have. But everybody's sensitive. No two people are alike. Some people are more sensitive than others. I personally have never really felt anything of negative. And I've done, just because I'm adventurous, I remember I did I did a couple of suppositories like 2-3 times night after night. I would, and that's 3 grams of EDTA for four straight days. And I never really felt anything negative. The one thing that I did start to feel was, because I wasn't replenishing my minerals fast enough, I started to get some cramping. But to me, if you are getting the negative feeling of feeling sick or whatever, that's actually, I view that as a positive thing, because it actually shows people, hey, it's working. Something is going on here that's positive. Because generally, when you're doing something with EDTA or whatnot, you don't really feel anything, generally speaking. It's so benign and such a low dose that you really don't notice anything. But for the money that you're spending, it's, God, I wish I knew if it was working or not. The only way that you can really tell that if it's working is to do a pre and post provoked urinalysis. And what that'll do is that'll tell you, you know, the significance of the body burden that you have in terms of what you're dealing with. The reality of the situation is that you can never, ever get to a zero. You're never going to get your body to a zero body burden. That's just not feasible. Not in the world that we live in. There's way too many toxins out there, and you're just not going to get to a zero. But what you can do is, by reducing the body burden to the lowest possible number that you can get it to, what you're going to do is you're going to increase your longevity.
Yeah.
And you're going to increase your quality of life. What's longevity without quality of life?
Yeah. The big thing, if you're 101, you have to be, yeah. And most people are so sick in their later years, it's just brutal.
Yeah.
And spending so much money the past 5-10 years of life, it's astronomical.
Right.
When you talk about oxidative damage, so essentially the cells are being beat up and damaged. And when that happens, your mitochondria cannot make ATP. They can't make as much energy. ATP is like the currency of the body. Your brain needs it, your liver, your immune cells, your gut, everything needs that. So as your toxic body burden increases, your cells are damaged, your mitochondria can't work. And so that impacts so many different things in the body. But that's why getting toxins out is so imperative. You mentioned hydrogel for a minute, and I'm assuming you were taking that somewhere with the EDTA.
Well, so hydrogel is, in fact, this is an article written by Dr. Mihaicha. I think she's from Romania and grew up in Germany, and a very forward-thinking physician. And what she did was, she's an MD and a PhD, and the stuff that she's talking about here, there's a gal out there named Karen Kingston who worked for, I want to know if it was Pfizer or whatnot, but she worked for one of the pharmaceutical companies, and her job was basically reading patents. That's what she did. And she found in this patent, which was one of the hydrogels, which was the patent for hydrogel, that talked about how EDTA dissolves the hydrogel. So if you look at the title, it's a little sensational, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. So EDTA can help neutralize it. Now, she's talking in here about doing it through intravenously. And intravenous EDTA is by far and away the very best thing that you can do for yourself. But there's not an IV clinic on every street corner. And not only that, but IV is extremely expensive. So what we do with the cream and the suppositories is we give healthcare practitioners such as yourself, who, and some of the people who actually do have the ability to do IV. They may have IV, but what happens if they have a patient who is 400 miles away or doing telemedicine? They can't, it's difficult. They can't come in and do that. So this gives them the ability to treat patients who can't get into their clinic, or it's extraordinarily expensive. Insurance companies typically will not cover an IV treatment of EDTA or anything unless you can prove that you have like super high levels of lead. And the threshold that they do is, it's so skewed that you're just essentially wasting your time trying to even ask the insurance company to do it. If using your car as an example, you almost have to have your car be on the cusp of being totaled before the insurance company would even pay a claim type thing. So that'll give you a perspective of the insurance company's view of chelation, right? Yeah. What this does though is, so a normal chelation treatment is about anywhere from 2.5 to 3 grams or 2,500 to 3,000 milligrams of EDTA is typically what is given. On the suppository front, we can get people, depending on the dosage, anywhere between 500-600 milligrams all the way up to, I've seen them as high as 2 grams, although the highest I've ever seen in my circle is about 1,500 milligrams. I typically don't like to go that high. I think that puts a little bit too much stress on people's kidneys, because you're stressing the kidneys when you do that. So I like the low dose constant recommendation, which is why the cream is such a good way of doing it, because you can actually apply that every single day and you can constantly get a low dose doing it every single day where you're doing it consistently, because consistency is the most crucial component of doing this. And we take in, like that when I talked about the penny a day thing, we are taking in microscopic amounts of heavy metals into our body every day, whether we want to or not. It's not, you cannot avoid it at all.
Yep.
And if you're not taking anything out, all you're doing is adding to the microscopic amounts that you've been adding to forever. That's why I firmly believe that doing like something like the cream or suppository is something that you need to be doing on a consistent basis, really for the rest of your life, especially if you want to have any quality of life. Sadly, I mean, I'm sure you've been told this 100 times. When you were young, you had people that were in your life that were older and they say, take care of your health, take care of your health. And you, when you're young and you feel invincible, it's like, yeah, well, I need to take care of my health. I'm always going to be this way. And then you get into your 40s and you're like, oh, shit, I was wrong. I should have been listening to them, right? By that time, you're behind the eight ball a little bit. And it's not to say that you can't have good results and catch up to where you need to be a little bit. But for those who aren't taking their health seriously at the age of 20, by the time they reach 40, 45, 50, now they're really trying to take care of their health. And so they're trying to catch up for all the years that they messed up. Yeah. Well, and that's why I say again, that's why you need to be doing it daily. You need to add this to your daily regimen of things that you're doing. And then, but you also need to replenish the minerals that you're taking out, because like an antibiotic is an indiscriminate killer of bacteria in the body. Your body has both good and bad bacteria. And there's both good and bad things that are considered minerals or metals that EDTA as an indiscriminate agent that will take out both good and bad things. So if you're not replenishing the body with the good stuff, what you're going to do is you are ultimately going to suffer some of the negative ramifications of not putting in the good stuff back. And that's where we talked about cramping, where you get mostly leg cramping. That's probably one of the most severe things. And nobody likes to wake up in the middle of the night with a Charlie horse in their leg and their calf. That's just like the worst. I don't know. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, yeah. It's been a while, though, and because I really preach minerals for just everybody in general, not even if they're doing something like this, just for brain 100%. Health and mitochondrial health. And so many things require excellent mineral status, and so many people are dehydrated on a cellular level. So I think it's very important.
I'm one that's discovering that. I was in the best shape of my life in about April of 2019. And I went bone to bone in my right knee, and my cartilage was just bad. I lost all of my momentum in terms of going to the gym and working out and doing all this. I had so many good habits. By the time the inflammation had subsided to where I could get back in the gym, and I'd lost all those habits, well, then COVID hit. And Then the next thing I know, I find in September, I find myself with what I think is constipation. It turned out it was a kidney stone.
Oh.
It was stuck in my right ureter, which was a lot of fun.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I ended up herniating a disc in my back. This is meter herniation on my L4, L5, that it was really bad. All those things of that perfect storm led me to where I had to have back surgery, but I was still really heavy and I couldn't do much because I'd had back surgery. So I opted to have the gastric bypass surgery done. I feel great as a result of doing that. I lost 80 pounds of fat, gained 10 pounds of muscle. My A1C went from like 5.9 to 5.1. So I turned a lot of things around in a pretty short period of time. But the downside of that is I don't have the stomach size that I did. I can't get as much liquid into me as I once was able to, which is why you see me drinking so much, because I'm constantly trying to drink and get my liquid level or my hydration back up. Because a couple weeks ago, I started to feel like I had a kidney stone again. And I'm like, I went to the ER and they're like, yeah, we don't see a stone. Your blood work came back fine. Everything is fine. I don't know. So come to find out, I was impacted.
Oh, wow.
And the pain that I was feeling was as a result of being impacted.
Sure.
And dude, I did a full 10-ounce bottle of citrate of magnesium and hardly anything came out.
Wow.
That should tell you
that's brutal.
A lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've been over the course of the last week or so, I've done 3 hydrocolon therapy sessions, and I'm going to go back and do a few more just because I need to clean that out so that I can, because if you don't have if your gut health is probably the most crucial component of your health, bar none. I'm a huge believer in good gut health. And in order to have good gut health, you need to be very healthy from a regular being able to, like you say, go poop. If you're not pooping, look at children when they come out of the, how many times you got to change a baby's diaper?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
You can poop.
It's like, how can this little child have so much coming out? That's insane.
Yep.
As adults, we should be doing the same thing, but we don't. We're so bogged down with, like you said, toxins and chemicals and all this stuff that we don't go. And if it's not coming out of us, it's staying inside of us. And if it's staying inside of us, it's not good because it's bad for us. It's toxic. I'm a big believer in preaching about regularity and having good gut health.
Yeah, yeah, we appreciate that. And you're telling us your story and all that too. So thanks for giving us a little bit of insight into your world and EDTA and all the things. You want to tell people where they can find your EDTA?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to detoxacream.com. Now, I don't have my website is not e-commerce, but what I have is the guy who does all of my distribution. He's my main distributor. What I do is I send all of my customers to him, and he has 4 facilities that he can ship from. So no matter where you are in the world, he's got all of these. He's got one in England, one in Amsterdam for the EU. He's got one in Canada and one in the United States, and the one in the United States deals with all of the places that don't deal with the VAT taxes and whatnot. But so if you go to Detoxacream, and then from there, you can go to his website, and he's got multiple things. He's got suppositories, he's got the creams, and he's also got good mineral supplements as well. One of the other things that I really didn't get a chance to mention much, what I do with the LIVO2 guys is it's like hyperbaric oxygen, but it's so much better, because what we do is we elevate the heart rate. But when you elevate the heart rate and you're breathing hypoxic air, what you're doing is you're creating a demand, almost like a vacuum. And by creating the vacuum with the hypoxic air, you have the ability to toggle the switch. It's essentially what it does is it mimics like training in elevation. So a lot of high performance athletes, what they'll do is they'll go to a higher elevation area and they'll work out up there because they like the ability to get to be in a low oxygen environment to get their body more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, your body has to adapt and shift in order to change that low oxygen demand.
So it's, you want to get your body to where it's functioning efficient. That's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. You want your body to be efficient in a low oxygen environment. And with what the Live O2 does is it actually allows that, allows your body to function efficiently with low oxygen. But at the same time, we're oxygen by creating the demand and then hitting that switch and breathing in 85% oxygen when your blood O2 level is at like a 65. What you're doing is you are really getting a significant amount of deep penetration of oxygen into the cellular tissue to where you talked about where creating ATP, oxygen. I am not a believer in a magic bullet. There's no such thing as one thing that will do everything. Like everything works synergistically with each other, right? Minerals, whatever. Everything works synergistically with each other. But if you had to give me only one thing, if I could only get to choose one thing to do for the rest of my life, the one thing that I would choose would be the hypoxic training. Because what you're doing is by getting the oxygen in deep into the cellular tissue, you are creating more ATP than that. That's one of the greatest things that you could do. Now, I still don't think that I would ever have to be, had to deal with just one thing, but I emphasize the Live O2 that way because I do believe of the importance of what Live O2 does, but the machines are very expensive. A machine is going to be anywhere between $6,000 to $8,000, depending on what you're doing. So it's not like, you know, it's something that people can afford. But if you have a, if you've got a place around you that has a Live O2 machine, definitely you can go to liveo2.com and check and see if there's people out there. I am involved in the sales team and whatnot. So if you're a healthcare practitioner and you want to investigate into something like this, by all means, reach out to me and I can help facilitate that. But it's a great profit center. And generally speaking, depending on the person, one 15 to 20 minute Live O2 session is roughly the equivalent of about probably 20 hour and a half dives on hyperbaric oxygen. So that should give you an idea of the magnitude of what Live O2 can do. And that helps by creating the ATP and the oxygen and whatnot. What you're doing is you're making the body much more energetic, and energy is what drives everything. Without energy, your body can't do anything. So the energy helps your body detoxify faster as well.
Yeah. I'm a huge oxygen therapy fan, oxidative therapies. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Yeah. Ron, before we wrap up, this has been a great talk here on so many different things. I love the rabbit holes and all the areas that we touched. And there's so many more to go down we just didn't get into yet.
We can do it again.
I always close with this question. I'll toss this up to you here. So what is one censored truth or idea that's been hidden, suppressed, silenced from the world that you think people need to know? Something that you're passionate about? It could be anything at all from any part of history.
Boy, you're asking me to look for a needle in a stack of needles.
I see. We're deep in the bowels of Ron's brain right now. Trying to
That's a tough one. I think the one thing that I think could impact people in a positive way is how society has been programmed to believe that we're different and focusing on differences. Because when we're just kids on the playground in first and second grade, all we see is kids. We don't see a black kid, a Mexican kid, a girl. I mean, maybe a girl, but you know what I'm saying. You know where I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say one of the biggest things out there is that we need to focus on the areas where we are similar as opposed to focusing on the areas that they have been telling us that we're different. And the way I look at it is society is so fractured right now that literally we are all fighting for captaincy of a sinking ship, when what we really need to be doing is coming together and focusing on how we can patch the holes in the boat that's sinking, instead of trying to fight for control of it. I think that's like, I'm gonna come at it from that perspective, because I feel that if we come together and focus on the areas that we have that are similar, and we get back to being morally upright, I think we could turn society around so fast in a positive way.
And I think the people in charge know that. That's how they have to divide and conquer continually every single thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so thank you, Ron.
That's going to be the one that I'm going to go with.
That's beautiful. Yep. I love it. Thank you, Ron, so much for today. I'm going to put links in the show notes below to Untold History Channel, the EDTA stuff. Okay. Shoot me over the Livo too. I'll put that down there also. Hope everyone enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks again.
I look forward to the next time, Seth.
Thank you much. Thanks to everybody.
Alrighty.
Thanks for joining us in this week's podcast. You know, we need more brave people like you who can share this message of hope and truth to a world that's completely upside down. If this podcast resonated with you, I'd ask you to share it with a friend, or even better, share it on socials and tag me. For more resources on natural health, freedom merch, and my mission, check out drsethgerlach.com. As always, subscribe to the show to catch every new episode that comes out, and leave us a review so we can spread these uncensored truths with as many people as possible. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you.